Thank everyone for coming again this week. A few thank yous in order. First of all, Josh Herbert, Dr. Richard, Dr. Rabbi Josh Herbert did a fantastic job last week. I listened to the whole thing and really was so, you know, it's so instructive and helpful. It was fantastic. I want to thank Rabbi Neuberger for taking his time out to talk to everyone tonight and discuss some of the halachic issues. And I also really want to thank Jaron Lee-Piro, who kind of pushed this whole idea forward to make sure that it happened. So without his nudging, it would not have happened. This thing is great. Okay, so thank you, Jeremy.
And thank you, Rabbi Bigman, for putting this together.
Good. Thank you very much. Is there something that you want to discuss first? It shows on my mind. So let me share a few ideas, and then maybe we'll be more warmed up. Yeah. So I had the opportunity to speak with fellas and men and women who are training to be doctors in various parts and various stages of their training, whether it's when they're in medical school, when they're thinking about what residencies to take, or when they're thinking about what fellowships. And often the questions come up about how to balance the various forms of training that they will receive and their family life and, of course, the requirements of Torah and Mitzvahs. So the conversation certainly focuses on Shabbos and Shabbos both practically and the sacrifice that one will take. And it occurred to me that it's very important that people realize, and I see this in a decreasing amount, and therefore I think it's important to focus on it. I'm happy to have this opportunity. Is that a sense of the way that we see that medicine is a form of avodas hakodesh. And because of the avodas hakodesh, so therefore it's appropriate to make various sacrifices for it. For example, a young family has to figure out how they're going to accommodate a parent or a spouse going for medical training. So sometimes it means being in a place where they'll be close enough to the hospital they can walk in, walk back. The sacrifice might not be the easiest place to be in the early part of one's marriage. Or alternatively, sometimes it will mean that a father or a spouse will not be home for Shabbos. It's difficult. But that's part of the privilege of being a Avodas HaKodesh. And I thought that, my impression was that years and years ago when these questions came up, it was a much greater sense. There are going to be difficulties, and because Baruch is going to help us through. We're not going to be crazy forms of sacrifice, but life will have a certain, will require certain doing things a little bit differently than maybe others than I expect them to be. But on the other hand, when I finish and I actually go into the practice, so I'm going to be doing something which is enormously more satisfying and more substantial than what other fellows are doing with their 9-to-5s and 9-to-9s or 9-to-10s, whatever. And that sense of that this is Avodas HaKodesh, I think, is the only way that a person maintains a sense of mission and a sense of balance. I think that, so we see a decreasing sense of appreciation of this. We see it in yeshiva now. It disturbs me very significantly that there's the shift that right now, I think there are the majority of the fellows in yeshiva are incisives now. So that's a shift that concern has to concern Rebbeim, not because it means that there's a shift away from seeking out livelihoods where the substance of one's livelihood is going to be something of great import, very satisfying, and providing for others. So that has to concern the Jewish community. There are many, many reasons for it, as you know. Medicine is not as a comfortable lifestyle as it used to be. It's not as lucrative as it used to be. But for Klal Yisrael, that shouldn't really make a difference. For Klal Yisrael, it's a way that a person can be of enormous value to the Rosh and other people. So I think this sense of years and years ago, and the trip to this would be also very, very helpful in terms of just addressing various issues. But a book of this sort, when these kinds of books first came out, the first few entries would be the mitzvah of refuah. What's the what is the basis for the mitzvah? And there'd be several articles on it, whether it's Hashav HaSagof or whether it's whether it's a form of Lisan of Riach, there are different ways of that used to be the beginning of all books on medical ethics, when medical ethics was the cutting point of halacha, going back to probably the 70s and the so there was a robust discussion of appreciating the avodas Hashem involved in medicine. Right? The fact that it's that's not the purpose of this book, but I still think that years ago it would not have, a book like this would not have come out. I'm not criticizing it. You can say the articles are there already and there's nothing new in those articles. That's true. But sometimes the importance of appreciating the what was taken for granted or not appreciating and not talking about it allows that to fade away. And I think it's enormously important because the difference between a person who goes to medical school and says and just looks at the previous classes, what they were doing, it's probably mutter, so we'll keep on going, right? And you'll be right, right? The class says, well, doing autopsies, doing pathology, it's not called autopsy, it's called the anatomy class in your labs, right? So it's probably mutter because we know hundreds of firm doctors, and it is mutter. But I was very happy that this year the freshman class at Einstein wanted to share on why it was mutter. Right? So that sounds like a very modern Orthodox thing to do. That's to be sharing why it's mutter. Right, we're doing this anyways. Come on, let's do it. Right, so that's but it's so important because it is mutter. But if you learn why it's mutter, so then that raises the level of what one was doing, and everyone knows that it's been addressed by three or four shuas, and why we different. We can't talk about it, but why there's a difference between studying on a Jewish body and non-Jewish body, and so that raises the attentiveness and it raises the way that one's living. One's now living with a deeper understanding that this is part of the, and that we will accept certain leniencies because it's Letzarach Mitzvah, because that's the only way that a person can become trained. And one of the, I think it was the Chavos Yaakov who pointed out, that if you go through Shas, you can find various situations where knowledge there could have only been received through some kind of anatomy lab, so to speak, or the equivalent. So I think that's not just mechazek. It deepens the kind of Jew a person is. Because one's learned the sugyas and understands it, and one's living something in a but not taking for granted. But we're saying I have to understand this much better, appreciate it much better. And even though The nafka mina for practice, very, very minimal, if any, at the end of the evening. But the fact that we addressed it and learned about it, so that, and looking at it, looking, confronting it, taking it frontally, that was a way of just raising the level that one was living. And that's, I think, what helps deepen one's lives going forward. Same thing with once you're in practice. So once you're in practice, so it isn't the, it used to be that doctors could just do medicine. That goes back by my peers. But my peers already had to morph into doctors figuring out how to do medicine and figuring out the business side of medicine. So that's every parnasa has the, we call it the scut work. Every parnasa has the stuff that you'd rather not do. And so that can take away from the excitement and from the sense of discipline. But I think if a person is and appreciates that the things that you don't necessarily want to do, that is supporting a form of avodas Hashem, and that's helps again to deepen the everybody's lives. I think it helps making the sacrifice you have to make later on. It helps dealing with the times when things are not selling butter. Right, the classical which comes to my mind is when a person is on call on a Friday night and the shift ends in the middle of the night around the 5 o'clock Shabbos morning, and then one has to stay in the hospital for the rest of the day because there is no kula to head back in those situations, and it's a lousy Shabbos because you could be stuck someplace for a long Shabbos, summer Shabbos. You're not having the best of it. And if a person sees it as, there's one way I want to make my parnasa, then it would be an intolerable Shabbos. But if you realize, all right, I'm doing something that will be a privilege to do, and it'll be a avodas HaKodesh, and I'm going to be serving other people, and it's going to be something that is going to be that the substance of my days are going to be doing a avodas Hashem. So, all right, so then there's a period of time in one's life, there's a tkufa where you're going to, the miserable Shabbos, and then it's going to be over, and that's part of the penguin's zoo, so to speak. So I think that it's much easier, and it helps a person keep a sense of balance. And same thing with his family. That there are sacrifices, depending on, you know, be blessed to get married, be blessed to have children. There could be sacrifices. And if the whole family appreciates the importance of what you're doing, so it makes all the difference in the world. It doesn't mean that everything all the time is going to be mutter. There could be certain sub specialties or certain that you will not be able to take on, not really go down that road, because the requirements of Shabbos may be in such a way that be asked to do things that are not butter. There could be certain places of training, there are very, very few, that you won't be able to accept. On the other hand, I believe that when you conduct yourselves in a way that this is an enormously enriching way to spend your lives, so that attitude will make you such a valuable player of any team that it'll be in everybody's interest to cut you more slack and allow you to do the things you have to do for Shabbos. And that attitude will keep your toes to the wheel to make sure that the rest of the week you'll be sort of outperforming other people. Good. Things that you would want to discuss. Some of the challenge that you will have that previous classes didn't have. So one of the challenges you will have is that the competition to get into fellowships is much stronger than it was when my peers were in medical, were going to medical school, or even when my first set of Talmidim. The pressure, you're under much greater pressure to perform. So for example, when my peers and my first group of Talmidim were going to medical school, so then the second year was an easy year. First year was hard, second year was pretty easy. So that's changed. The second year is you have the boards in the second year. So why has that changed? Because the grades that were needed to get that my peers and needed to get on the boards were not as strong as the grades that you will want to get. Because again, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but there's the competition to get into certain fellowships. There was always certain fellowships that were very competitive. It just seems to me now that it's just much, much fiercer. There's just much more competition in many, many more places. So how does that translate itself? It means your second year won't be as easy as it was for your parents or some of your older siblings or cousins. It will mean that there'll be pressure during the third and fourth year to go into the hospital on Shabbos, which is that's like a new phenomenon. And when the students in the student years, when they were doing your sub-internships and then your electives, so it was my impression. I mean, nobody at Einstein, it was clear that nobody went on Shabbos. But that was my impression across the board and most other places as well, that it just was not expected for a person to go on Shabbos. And it was understood, your students, they're not really doing any medical, they're not treating anybody. So it was understood that Shabbos took precedence over being, and you're not going to miss anything. That was, obviously there's some major presentation that was taking place on Shabbos and people would go. And that was it was certainly true to understand, that was my impression. Other places as well. So that is under fire, I would say. Because when you're in your sub-internships and your electives, so the recommendations that you're going to be getting from your supervisors is much more important now than it was years ago. Because of the competition to get to the next stage. So the interest in curing favor with supervisor is and what goes on in the minds of the students now. And it may be that you'll get a great recommendation anyways, even if you explain that you're not going to come in the shops. Maybe not. Sometimes the emphasis and the supervisor will be upset and will see it as a lack of dedication, and many times the supervisor will be 100% fine with it. But in your minds you'll be nervous about it because all your peers, it's not going to be a shaila for them. So that is something that's a shifting ground, which is something new, that the pressure that wasn't around. It's a pressure which will have to be really evaluated. You have to evaluate it and bring it to your rebbeim. And it's not, I can't imagine that it'll be matir anything which is usur, but it might conceivably make a difference of being matir Zilzul Shabbos or Onrik Shabbos. I'm not sure. Again, it's a shifting grounds and things that, but that's indicative of a pressure which people before you didn't have. And it's an uncomfortable thing. And again, you have to evaluate. You're going to the next set of pressures which you're going to have, which will be new for you, is end of life issues. So that's been going on ever since the Bria. But the end of life medical issues and the pressure that doctors are under and that residents are under, so that's been on the increase. And what I mean pressure? The pressure not to treat, the pressure to throw in the towel. When the pressure a person hits, pick your age, 88, 90, 92, and they don't even bother looking at the rest of the chart. They just see the birthday and say, you know, why are we bothering with it? The guy could be, he could have a clear mind. And he could be a source of great pleasure and energy for his family, but sometimes in certain hospitals, they see a certain birth date, and if they're ready, they give them the room of the farthest from nursing station, it was the button, the call button that doesn't always work, that kind of thing. So you'll be under much more pressure as there are more options to treat, and as people are going to have possibilities of help in more precarious situations, so there's going to be more pressure not to treat, because the hospital will become fuller and all of the algorithms that the insurance companies provide. And that's going to be very, very difficult, because you're going to have, in many situations, you're going to have a Torah obligation and a moral obligation to push the treat. So that's a challenge that's something you're going to have to learn very, very well, these sugyas. Both the sugya of end-of-life sugyas, as well as what is your obligation as a young member of a team. What's your obligation as a student? What's your obligation as a new guy in the hospital? How far are you supposed to push? It's an unpopular position. You will be asked to go in and speak to the family, because they will send in the students first. They'll say, you speak to the hospital. It's a good cop, bad cop. You speak to the family, give them the DNRs, and tell them that they should be making decisions. Then the attendant goes in, he's a nice guy, and schmoozes out with him. So that'll be a challenge for you, because in many situations, you're not going to advocate a DNR. You're not going to advocate limiting care. So that's something on the... And obviously, if assisted suicide becomes more and more popular, so that's certainly going to be a whole new parsha that you'll be asked to deal with, and that others have to be asked to deal with. But what that means is not to feel, oh my gosh, this is God, I've only been so for carrot. What you have to feel is that we have, because Baruch Hu has given us direction, Chazal has given us direction. You're going to learn this direction very, very well. You're going to understand the details. You understand how it's going to be applied, and you're going to have tremendous siyata nishmaya to bring these hayrois lavasa, and to save people, and to save people from certain situations, and to raise the level of concern of your peers and of your teams. So it's a huge achrayas, and you'll learn how to do it in a refined and elegant way, so you don't become that guy in the team that nobody is always funny for longevity, no matter how. It's not going to be that way, but it's a tremendous undertaking, and it'll be even more rewarding, even though it'll be more difficult. On the upside is that, I wouldn't say upside, they're all upsides. You're also going to be administering care in situations that'll be enormously more helpful and more hopeful. In other words, there's certain areas where we've seen almost in areas of oncology, so we've seen the last 20 years enormous advances, right? There's certain areas that we haven't seen in advance, but you're going to see those, right? Probably neurological tumors, brain tumors. So we haven't seen that much advance in the last 15, 20 years. But it's significant, but not what we've seen in other areas. And you'll see those things, right? You will probably see breakthroughs in dementia and Alzheimer's that we haven't seen. So that's also going to be an inspiring part of your work, to be part of those things, to be part of those advances. But that's all part of the Avodas Hashem. This text really encompasses what I think is so important, because over here the fact that you have medical students who have taken all the various requirements so seriously that they researched them and I read most of the Sefer, a good part of it, and the care that was taken and the level of appreciation, the level of depth. So that, the most important part of this is that it was written by people who could be you in the next, who will be you in the next few years. And you see that the significance of learning, the depth of learning, knew no compromise. And the idea that there are there are chazals and there are roshams, mitzvahs and chazals who address your situation. And then to go through the tshuvas to make those leaps and do them as a medical student. That is such an enormous accomplishment of being able to maintain the sense of Yiras Hashem, Yiras Shema, Yiras HaKovid during as you go forward. It's I find that to be inspiring, and it has to be a bit of inspiration for all of you going forward. And then each of you will add on chapters to things that are coming up, right? There'll be a chapter on dealing with Shabbos and the enormous pressure of having to curry favor with the supervisor. And Baruch Hashem, so while you're in your years over here, the different ways in which you can prepare is different shitas of how you the best way to prepare yourself. One shita is to try to become more to become better, more, as acquainted as possible in Hilchos Shabbos, because that's going to be the question which will come up most frequently, or end of life situations. So to take the opportunity that your night seder will be on those issues, so you become more and more acquainted. That's one approach, and you could use a text like this to get you through all the makaros and the many others like that. The other approach is to say you're going to have enough of that when you get to medical school. You can do it when you're in medical school. And now, the best thing is to develop the broadest and deepest tools of learning, so that when a sugya comes up and it's tucked away in a remor, it's tucked away in some mesechta that you haven't learned yet, that you won't be frightened by it, but you'll be able to get into it. So it could be that just that the depth of learning and preparing yourself, not necessarily for all the sugyas, but for the masikos of learning, the excitement of the love of learning. When you're in medical school, you'll have the same question. Is it better first year? You're not going to have a lot of time, but you'll be able to carve out time. So what's the best thing? To carve out time and to learn a sugya in Shabbos, to learn about drawing blood on Shabbos. Is that what I want to do? And that could be, it's one malach. The other malach is, no, I want a break. I want to learn Bava Kamma, right? Because my entire day, my head is in drawing bloods, and anatomy, and histology, and pathology. I want the sequence of learning out everlasting. And both approaches, you have to see what speaks to you more, what gives you more of more excitement. And the same thing learning now. The eco of learning will I think is the mesechta, so that you absorb the excitement and the mesikos and the comfort of learning. So that way, no matter how difficult your training is going to be, but you'll be able to pick up a sefer, and it'll go, and you'll enjoy it and you'll love it and you want more of it. The night seder, the extra seder, that's something that they have to consider. You have to speak with Josh and others who have had that experience. Well, what would they have done differently if they thought about this during undergraduate years? But that's I think that there'd be many opportunities to discuss details. You want me to discuss some details now, but you'll have many opportunities to discuss details. For me, the overall approach was most important. Good.
Question. Is there any particular field of medicine that the Jewish nation is lacking from doctors in?
Offhand, I cannot think of one. My mom's lacking, I cannot think of one. either areas where we could use more. So this will come as a surprise to you, but I think from psychiatrists, I think that one of the changes that we're all seeing is an increase in anxiety and depression. And the truth is that even top psychiatrists do a lot of experimenting with different courses, different drugs, and things like that. So if we have Baruch Hashem, the Jewish community does have top psychiatrists, but I don't know if we have enough. Top psychologists, Baruch Hashem, were able to find a thing. Top psychiatrists, the issues that we are seeing, the increase, the numbers of people that are on medication, the stress that we're under. So I'm not sure. When I have to make a referral to a psychologist, I brought up many referrals. When I have to make a referral to a firm psychiatrist who gets what it means, what stress means in the Jewish community, what depression means in the Jewish community, what I'm Marshall, I'm working with right now, that we don't have a psychiatric therapeutic facility that is Shomer Shabbos. That is, we can get kashrus, but so I have a young man who's in one of these facilities. So I have to explain that on one hand, if there are things that take place on Shabbos, so we view depression as Cholish Yesh B'Sakana. So if the facility believes that certain therapies have to take place on Shabbos, so then that's going to be the best outcome. We had conversations to reduce the Chil of Shabbos, and we were successful in reducing it significantly. But they also had to realize that when this person gets better, they're going to feel guilty that they're a Mechal of Shabbos. So if you're not from, it's very hard to appreciate that something could be mutter, but it's not going to be easy after when the person gets better to relive the Chil of Shabbos they were in. And again, I said I'll work on it, and we'll get the person to be there. But those kinds of appreciations are unique to the different community. So that is, again, I have people that I can refer to, but there are only a few of them. There aren't a woman who's going through certain psychiatric crises, Russian we have, but it's not Orthodox cardiologists. Not hard to find. Probably ENTs, not hard to find. Fertility experts, you know, Baruch Hashem. So I'm thinking about it. Just now we had going through a certain parsha and had to make a referral to somebody on the West Coast. It was a Tapa, not a person. That's all strange now, but that's what it is. So that'd be one area. Any other ideas? No. From OBGYNs, we have Baruch Hashem. That's probably what would come to mind. There are, yeah.
Let me give an overview of how
Kohanim
relates to
that. Yes, Kohanim is a very, very tough parsha. So one parsha that when I was asked a few weeks ago to speak at Einstein and discuss anatomy, so the one thing I said, it'd be hard for me to discuss the issue of Gun. The reason is because Achrei Kechlis HaKol, there's no chiyuv to become a doctor. So even though there's a key mitzvah, and one will be almost always being the kind mitzvahs by curing people, making more comfortable, relieving various stresses, But there's ochiyah to do that. We're not all mechuyev to become doctors. So that's so. There is, and you know, when it comes to Shabbos, so there will almost always be ways, not always, not anything but there, but there's a, the algorithm is one which we walk through. But for Kohenim, to be the Tumas oil and the Tumas magas is going to be very hard to negotiate that. I remember when I was in at Einstein, so there was we had a few kohenim over there. Most of them were Balei Tshuva, came from afterward. But there was one young man who was whose name was Cohen. And he explained to me that he was in medical school because he was rooming with a very, very fresh Baal Tshuva. And he was an undergraduate. This was becoming from, and he was in touch with his rabbi, and he had in mind to become a doctor, and his rabbi encouraged him and certainly consented, whatever. So this young man, who I was speaking with, his name was Cohen, he said, I grew up now, I think I can become a doctor. And then when his roommate was allowed to become a doctor, so he said, if that's the case, I'll become a doctor as well. So I assume what happened was that the guy was becoming from, I assume what happened, and the rabbi permitted it. I assume it happened because either he's going to become a doctor anyway, so the only question was, does he become a doctor, does he become a from doctor, not from doctor? So when those are the two choices, it's better he should become a from doctor. I assume that's what happened. I was not there, but I imagine that's what happened. So that was not, you can't communicate that to the person asking the question. You can't say that really what you're doing is wrong, but in order that you'll become from, I'll say it's okay. Yeah. So he probably, so when my friend got picked this up, so he probably wasn't, probably would not have been communicated in the same way. I only became aware of it because when he was in first year medical school, so when it came time to take the anatomy test. The anatomy test, and it was still this way, they ask you to point out certain things. So you have to move parts of the body to. So he went to the instructor, and he said, remember that when we first met, you said, isn't it interesting that we have the same last name? And she's still there, and it's probably not, it's going to be many years.
A different going. Who's there, though? The instructor.
Okay, so she didn't know that she was not from the United States. She was. So he began to explain to her that the significance of being called, having the last name Cohen, so on and so forth. And he explained to her that throughout the entire semester he would never touch the body. But now that it's coming to the test, he needs to be able to figure this out. So she fell off her chair laughing. And she said, this is Santa Dishmai. And she said, I can't believe that you've done a whole semester of anatomy and you have touched the bottom. And she thought it was hilarious. And again, in his mind, he was taking certain leniencies which are not necessarily correct. He was taking the leniency of that oil and mace for a goy is okay for a goy, which is not, probably not a mainstream view. In any event, so then she said, she pulled herself back together, she said, well, you know, I pride myself as being a liberal, and so if I'm a liberal, I'm going to have to help you out. So she worked it out for him that he would not have to move any of the parts, but he would direct the instructor exactly what to move in order to get to the place that.
She's Jewish and a Kohen, so can she?
She's a bus guy. She's there's no for a bus guy as much. I was asking the Shaila, but that that's a very, it's a very difficult road to get. That's the kind of thing that a person has to go to one of the Gedolei Yisrael and discuss it. Because I do appreciate that it's a, it is a, it's a huge, it's a huge nisoyim. And we very rarely have that kind of nisoyim in our lives. Our, in my community, I've had two or three situations, where, and I was so overwhelmed with a young woman who all her life was wanted to be a figure skater. Is that the right word? I think it's synchronized skating. And she was really very, very good. For a Jewish girl, it's unusual. And she was very, very good. And she wanted that to be her livelihood. And but when she got to the point where she was now going to go for the real training, she couldn't do it with Shabbos. There's no one who was willing to accommodate Shabbos. She changed her life course because of that. That's very unusual. You don't see that so often nowadays. We're very, very used to being able to find some kind of accommodation. And another young man, and these are wonderful young people, but they're not, these are not people that have learned in yeshiva for years and years and years, who wanted to become a meteorologist. And when he was checking out programs, so there was no meteorology program that would accommodate Shabbos. And here again, was a kid who, I think he finished high school. I think that was it. And it's a huge sign to change. He did. And I was overwhelmed with these things, because I don't know if I'd be overwhelmed with any sign. That's the first thing. Whenever somebody asks me whether they can go into a non-Shomer Shabbos residency program, the first thing I always ask, the shayla only begins to be a shayla if you know yourself and if you know you can be Amid B'Nisai. In other words, it means the following. It means that there could be a situation where there's no AF. Right, the guy died, and there's pressure from the head nurse to sign the death slip. There's no way that you say this death slip is going to be is pikuach nefesh. And some people try to weigh around that if this is the only bed that's available, and the five guys in the yard waiting for a bed, so maybe that's pikuach nefesh. But not so poshut that having a bed in one of the room make a difference. So you have to know that. When that happens, you're not going to bend. And you're going to suffer, and you're going to get called in the rug Monday morning by the end of the program, and you're going to have to stand your ground. If a person knows they can do that, they're only b'nisoyim, then there's a lot to discuss about whether, in all the other situations, where it really is b'koach nefesh, how one figures things out. That's for Konim, it's a huge nisayon, and I would not take a stab halacha l'maaseh at that because of the chomer hadin and because of the life changing shaila that it is. So that's the kind of thing a person has to go to Adam Gadol, Gadol Yisrael, and say this, it's always good to go to a person who doesn't say, I've done this 10 times and this is the answer. The person says, every shayla is a new shayla. But you need to have what they call the broad shoulders. Both because the shayla is a hard shayla, and whatever the answer is going to be. If the answer is going to be, it's okay, you need to be able to go forward saying, I went to Gadol Yisrael. The answer is going to be no, and therefore I'm going to live my life differently. Then you have to know, and maybe Rosh Hashanah, that was the right thing. So that's why it's. So I would not want to be comfortable walking through that. I'm happy to help you figure out who to ask. Okay, so I want to thank you for the opportunity to discuss these things, and if I can even help going further, I'm happy to come.
Thank you
very much. Thank you very much.
If anyone wants to purchase this sacred training, $15. I have change for $20 if you want.
This is my first year.